I'd like to have one of the most recent but most constant conversations that I have with people. Very often, people would have a discussion with me about their purpose, either in a general sense on earth, or more recently, we've been talking about purpose in a particular season of my life. Let me give you some examples. It's a conversation that I would typically have with somebody who's finishing high school and they need to decide what they will go and study. And then the question is, what do I want to do with my life? The same thing happens when people engage a new work environment or a working space, or they start their own business. And very soon they end up in a space where the activity of business has them to maybe a point of discontent, and they ask the question, is this all there is? Is this the purpose of my life, to do what I'm doing now? It's also true for people who turn 40 and 50, and definitely you get to retirement age, that they have to ask this question. What will be a purposeful and a meaningful life for me in this next season? I think about maybe a mother whose children have just gone out of high school and they're off to study or to work somewhere, and the empty nest is begging the same question. How can I lift the levels of meaning and purpose in my life? It's a conversation that you don't just have with yourself, but as a leader, you will end up with this conversation with everybody that you lead. Maybe a new challenge, maybe a new level of responsibility, and people will definitely ask the purpose question. I believe, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that one of the most spiritual conversations that you can have is this conversation. Because as a follower of Jesus, when I begin to walk in my godly calling, if I have a sense of godliness about what I am doing, and godly meaning and godly purpose, that is probably one of the most spiritual things that you can do, is to live out your potential in regards to your calling and God's uniqueness that he has placed in your soul. In Romans 12, verse 1 in the Message translation, it says, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him." So let's just finish this introductory thought before we talk about it in practical terms, that Ephesians is a book where very often this is referenced, and I think the author Paul has this, he's got this desire that people will live with a godly calling, with a godly mission over their lives. And he takes us in Ephesians 2 verse 8 to salvation. He says, "It is by grace that you have been saved. It's through your faith. It's not from yourself. It's a gift from God, not by your works, so that no one can boast." But then immediately on top of the layer of salvation, he says the following, "For we are God's handiwork. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us." I have a deep conviction that every person on this planet is God's handiwork. You are an art form. You are an artistic expression of God's creativity. And you know, any painting has got beauty and brilliance in it. And maybe that's where we need to start today, is to begin to ask those questions. What are the elements of beauty and brilliance that God has put in my life? And in this particular season of my life, how can I maybe give expression? How can I do the good works of the Creator who created me with these two elements of uniqueness? It's in how the mixture of different colors and different shapes, how they actually produce a painting. And similarly in your life, these different ingredients of your uniqueness need to be brought together so that, let's read it again, Ephesians 2 verse 10, so that God's handiwork, his personal involvement in your life, that which was created in Jesus, through Jesus in you, so that you can do those good works which God have prepared in advance for us. I think there's this metaphor that I love to use when I have this conversation with people, and that is that maybe similarly to a fruit salad, the taste of a fruit salad is not in the individual items or the different kinds of fruit that are used. The taste is in the mixture. And I think that's where the artistic side of life, when we talk about calling, when we talk about purpose, when we talk about a meaningful existence, it starts with the identification or the articulation of those different elements of your uniqueness. But then it's in the mixture, it's in how you put those together that really makes your life meaningful. Now, let me just remind you also in Ephesians, but in chapter 4, there's one body. Paul now uses a metaphor that says, just like your body, it's one body, one spirit, there's one hope, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father over us all. So we're part of this a larger unity. But then he says, but in verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 4, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That means that similarly to my body, there is unity, but there is uniqueness. There is diversity in the unity. And what I'm saying is that very often in conversations with people, I discover that it's difficult for them to articulate those elements of diversity. What is it that makes me different to other people? What are the elements of uniqueness? I think that's one of the biggest problems that I encounter as I lead people and I want to encourage them to grow, is the difficulty that people sometimes find to articulate God's uniqueness in them. So maybe there are a couple of other questions that we can use. The first one is, what are some of the godly gifts in your life? I can tell you, when I look back in my life, from a very early age, I ended up in leadership positions. It's not something that I aspired to. It's not something that I studied at first. It was something of a godly gift in my life. And you need to ask the same question. When you look back to when you were 10, 11, and 12, 16, and 18 years old, what were the things that were rising to the surface that came natural to you and there was grace and blessing on those elements? Maybe another question could be the strengths of your life. You know, we're sometimes so aware of our weaknesses. When I sit somebody down and I ask them to articulate, to write down their strengths, they sometimes find it difficult to say it. And it could be a good thing just to turn to somebody who really knows you well and ask them the question, what do you see are some of the strengths in my life? On top of that, every one of us have unique interests. Some of us are interested in finance. Others are interested in education. Others are interested in relationships. And the list is so long. The question is, do you know what they are? What are the elements of godly gifting? What are the strengths? What are the unique interests in your life? And I want to stop here for a minute, because I very often, when I ask people this question, they respond and they say, but those are just normal things. Are they just, you know, but it's normal for you. But if you really sit down with somebody else, you will realize that that is diversity, that is uniqueness. Those are the things that make you different to other people. Maybe not the element, but maybe the intensity, maybe how intensely interested you may be in any kind of thing. You know, for me, it's music. It's one of them. It's my interest in people's wholeness and well-being. It's my interest also in the human soul and the human mind. Those are just examples that I would typically put on the table before we bring this fruit salad together. And maybe a last question could be specific focuses. It could be that in a particular season when you have children, that your children are a specific focus of your life. And that is a part of this fruit salad of a meaningful, purposeful life, godly calling, and maybe in this particular season for your life. Now, the second thing that breaks my heart, the first one is that people struggle to articulate those different ingredients. The second one is that people sometimes negate some of them. I said to somebody recently who loves interior design, and you know, they were just saying, well, that's just something simple about my life. It doesn't really fit into the important category of godly calling. That is a huge mistake, because it's not the interior design that is actually the point. It is the creativity behind it. It is maybe God's gift in your life that you love to make things beautiful. Or it could be something else. It could be that you love to make people happy by making spaces beautiful for them. You need to know that, because if you know it and you don't negate it, you don't play it down, but you elevate it and say all of these different elements of the fruit salad are equally important. It's in the end the mixture that will determine the quality and the taste of your life. Galatians chapter 6, the same author Paul, but it's in the Message translation that it's put in a very unique way. Galatians chapter 6 verse 4 says, make a careful exploration of who you are. I love to do this with people, to sit them down, to open a book or a piece of paper in front of them and say, come on, let's begin to explore who you are. Let's go back to your godly gifts. Let's talk about your strengths. Let's talk about unique interests. Let's talk about learnings. Let's talk about challenges and crises that you've gone through in your life. And what have you learned? What did you take away from everything that you've experienced up until this point? Articulate it, put it down, and don't negate any one of them. Equally honor every one of the things in your life. It's a careful exploration of who you are. And number two, a careful exploration of the work that you have been given. The work basically is your contribution to this planet, where you have a sense that I bring a gift of a teacher to this planet. I bring the gift of an engineer to this planet. I bring the gift of a communicator. I bring the gift of an organizer. Whatever the work of your life, who you are, the work that you've been given, then this author says, sink yourself into that. Here we go. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best that you can do with your own life. I very often find a little bit of a victim mentality. People will tell me, you know, I'm not really happy at work. I'm doing this kind of a job and it's going well, but, you know, I think I want more in life. Now, that to me is a fantastic indicator that there is a little bit of a holy discontent, and it always breeds new vision and passion. But if the victim mentality holds you back and you kind of say, oh, I don't have time, I don't know what to do about this, I don't have knowledge, I don't have the skills, then you are not taking responsibility to do the creative best that you can do. And that's where I want to take you in the next couple of minutes, because this is the most important part of our discussion today. Very, very often, I would sit with people and we would talk about their dreams. They would say, I want to do this. I want to do more of this. I want to change the fruit salad a little bit. I need more banana and less whatever. whatever your particular desire in your life is, I very often find that people feel like a victim. They feel they can't change it. And I feel that people postpone and say, one day when I have time, one day, you know, when my kids are big, one day when I have finances, one day. That is the biggest thief of a purposeful and a meaningful life. And I love to put it this way. I challenge people to pull their future into their today. And I'll explain what I mean with that. Somebody will tell me, you know, I wish I could travel a little bit more. And then I ask them, all right, let's begin to take responsibility for doing the creative best that you can do with that desire in your life. In the first instance, that desire is a godly desire. Your soul wants to flourish on this planet, and one of the elements in your fruit salad is that you want to travel a little bit more. Where would you go? And people would say, I want to go to this and that other place. Maybe I want to go to Europe. And then I asked them the question, what would you like to do while you are in Europe? And they would typically say, I want to go and look at some of those ancient buildings, maybe an art museum or so. And then I ask them, is there an option for you? Definitely not at the same degree. I mean, to walk into an art museum that's got art there that's hundreds and even thousands of years old, that's one degree of your desire. But let's bring it down. Is there an art museum within reach that in the next 7 days you can go and experience what you would have done if you have traveled? That's what I call pulling your future into your today. Somebody recently told me, I want to be an author. I want to write. And I said, all right, let's ask the question, do you have 20 minutes in the next 7 days where you can actually sit down and write? What would be a nice space where you can go and sit with your laptop and begin to live your dream, not in the future, but taking immediate action in the direction of your dream, is where Paul goes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, with these words. He says, wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Taking responsibility to do the creative best that you can do with your own life. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work that you have been given, and you need to sink yourself into that. You are the one who really needs to wake up. Waking up simply for me means that for some reason I've fallen asleep. My level of awareness about my purpose or my dream has gone down to a place where it shouldn't be. And rising from the dead actually could mean that there are parts of a meaningful and purposeful life for you that actually died in your heart. I want to tell you a story of a lady who were at a point in her marriage where they got babies, and she said, I'm going to focus on my children. She used to be a dance teacher before that. And I remember about 6 months down the road with her first child, we had a conversation, and I could see she loves her family. She loves being a mother. But that one ingredient of being able to creatively express in dance and to help others to grow as a dancer, for her as a dance teacher, something was dying on the inside. And I asked her the same question I'm asking you today. This question pops up in every conversation. If you had to invest 20 minutes in the next 7 days, could somebody take care of your child? Could you maybe put on some music and maybe once a week? Yes, previously you did it on a daily basis, but could you bring your future? Not one day when my children are big, then I will dance again. Maybe you could pull your future into your today with literally saying, I'm going to take 20 minutes in the next 7 days. And again, in the next 7 days. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 5, after he says, wake up and rise. Christ wants to shine on you. Jesus Christ is the essence of life. He's the source of life. John 1 says, in him is the light and the life of man. He is the one who illuminates my soul so that I can be fully alive. He wants to shine on you. Christ shines on people who live a purposeful and a meaningful life. And then he says in verse 15 of Ephesians 5, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise people. How do you do it? Make the very most of every opportunity. One of the translations says, live accurately. If I bring this to a close, I've shared with you today a conversation that I'm having with people on a weekly basis. And if I summarize it, people would sometimes tell me, you know, I'm not really happy, or I don't feel there's enough meaning, or there's not enough purpose in my life. And I can think of 3 or 4 conversations that I've had in the last 7 days in this regard. Then I tell people, okay, let's start with a question. What enlightens your soul? Strengths, godly focuses. What are some of the gifts of God in your life? What are some of the learnings? A careful exploration of who you are. Then the second question is, what do you do well? A careful exploration of the work that you've been given. Remember, it's the most spiritual conversation that you can have with your God. Is, Lord, this is who you made me to be. This is who I have become. And how can I glorify you by lifting this to a new level of meaning? Then what I tell them is, it's not the identification of the different elements that actually determines the taste of the fruit salad. It's the mixture. So how will you bring some of those elements? Maybe a little bit of this and a little bit more of that. It's in the mixing of those things that you begin to move, that you immediately begin to move in the direction of a more fulfilled, a more purposeful, a more meaningful life. I'm praying that you will be that kind of a leader who can facilitate people to some of these answers. And I am convinced that some of the highest levels of fulfillment for me as a leader is to see the people that I lead really rise to the fullness of their potential. May the Lord wake up the giant inside of you and inside of your people through you. Amen.